Welcome back, Hoops HD Under the Radar.
Woohoo!
All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to our Hoops HD Under the Radar. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by kind of a little old school cast here, like we've done the last couple of years. Just me and David. Oh, Sleeker, you're there too. Okay, all three of us here.
I think the old school panel would actually be on the Kyle Lamb show that actually aired last night.
Oh, Kyle Lamb's show aired last night.
He did a show last night.
Yeah, I didn't catch it. How was it? It was his Thanksgiving special, wasn't it?
I think it was. Yeah,
if you want to look for it. Okay, yeah, be sure and check that. Yeah.
Scroll down there somewhere.
Right, yeah, it's down there.
He does a great job with his shows, but this is our Under the Radar report, where we review all of the news relating to the Under the Radar programs, as well as go over upcoming schedules and all kinds of other great stuff. We'll do our Under the Radar top 10 at the end of the show, but we like to start out every week by defining Under the Radar. David, you want to have at it? What does it mean to be under the radar?
Essentially, it means that you're outside of the 10 multi-bid leagues, and those are the Power 5 conferences, which is the Big 10, SEC, ACC, Big 12, and sort of Pac-12, as well as the five other not power conferences but regular multi-bid leagues. That's the Atlantic 10, the Mountain West, the West Coast Conference, especially with Gonzaga and St. Mary's, of course, the Big East and the American. Anybody else outside of those leagues falls under the categories under the radar. The other thing that gets you on the radar and not under it is being ranked in one of the either the AP or the coaches poll.
Right. And that does not apply to any of these schools, so it's going to be everybody from those 22 conferences. Fair game for this show. And David, I think you got somebody waving at you there on the side of your screen.
Where? Get out of here!
But on that note, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to pull up a screen here which has all the standings. We're going to be looking at this and looking at some of the notable results, upcoming games. And if I do things right, it should be coming up on the screen right about now.
Yeah.
There it is. Conference USA. And we like to feature a conference at the start of every show. And in honor of one of our great, as Sleek would call one of our great friends here at Hoops HD, Tim Floyd, we want to start with CUSA. David, UTEP, we thought they'd be half decent this season. After becoming 0-5 against D1, including a loss to Lamar yesterday, that was it. Tim Floyd threw up his hands and quit.
Yeah, rumor has it that part of that may have been due to health reasons, and if that's the case, we certainly wish him good health. He had a really long career. He won way more than he lost. Part of the Don Haskins coaching tree, I think. But, someone that we kind of enjoyed disliking while he was around. But now that he's gone, kind of wish him well. But, yeah, instead of being half decent, UTEP has been all suck so far.
Yeah, but John, the comments I read from Floyd after his retirement were basically he said, well, I can't deal with college basketball the way it is anymore. I'm out of here. Now, there may have been more to it, but at least publicly, I mean, that's even a worse image to go out on, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's amazing that he wouldn't have left last year under similar circumstances, because last season was when UTEP really got off to an awful start, but they actually managed to right their ship halfway through last year and even beat Middle Tennessee, which was at that time a huge upset.
Well, let's kind of take a look at the other end of Conference USA, which is the top end. And David, we just got finished watching Alabama knock off Louisiana Tech in a game that La Tech had most of the game and would have kept them undefeated, but they did lose in the end.
Yeah, La Tech had a double-digit lead in the second half and was really outplaying them. Alabama, credit to them for coming back. This is a really resilient Alabama team. They, not under the radar, but overcame a near defeat to Texas Arlington earlier last week as well. But Louisiana Tech, if you watch this game, it seemed like they just could not stop Alabama driving to the hoop late in the game, and they just kept getting, they would convert play after play after play, and in sort of semi-fast breaks where La Tech was back and Alabama didn't have the numbers necessarily, but they were still able to drive to the hoop and get the points. Still a really good showing by La Tech. This would have been a fantastic win on their profile. A win like this is what makes you It really does make the difference, or can, whether a team is inside the bubble or outside the bubble. Overall, La Tech's still doing very well, and they'll have, I think, a couple more chances. But, oh, man, what a missed opportunity tonight.
There's also one score that's not mentioned on here. We have to congratulate the Thundering Herd of Marshall for scoring 104 points tonight in a losing effort to William & Mary.
Yeah, actually, William & Mary kind of was a CUSA killer this week, John. They also knocked off ODU, Old Dominion, 79-77 earlier this week.
Yeah, and Old Dominion's also had some nice wins of their own and also have some pretty respectable power numbers as far as Pomeroy and RPI go. But I think the team we should be discussing is Western Kentucky as far as what they did down in Atlantis.
Yeah, absolutely, David. Two wins in Atlantis over Purdue and SMU. Real good show by WKU down there.
Yeah, real good. And again, those that caliber of win away from home, much less two of them, their profile off to a good start. And if last week, during one of the greatest shows we've ever done, I think we made mention about how no one was emerging as a candidate for being on or inside the bubble. This week, I feel a little different about that. It's just the teams that are emerging aren't the ones that we thought we'd see. Western Kentucky, with the tumultuous offseason, we weren't really expecting much from them, or we had a lot of question marks, but really getting it done down in Atlantis, picking up two really good wins, and you got to look at it. If they can hold serve and finish at the top of this league, you got to like their chances. And look at the top of this league, or the top half of it. You have, you know, Louisiana Tech, who we just discussed, Middle Tennessee, who we're about to discuss, a really good profile from them. They've gotten some good wins so far. The overall records for the top four or five teams, I think that it's good enough to potentially push one of them, or maybe two of them, onto the bubble or in it if one of the or two of those teams can run away from the conference.
Yeah, Middle Tennessee didn't actually play any games this week. They had the entire week off, but they're still sitting there at 4-1 with a real nice record. UAB is the team that's kind of been disappointing. We thought they'd be a lot better than they are. And if they can turn things around, it's still fairly early, John. We could have maybe that's the question is, can we get an at-large bid out of this conference?
It's certainly possible, and one of the reasons Middle Tennessee actually didn't play this week is because their exempt event is going to be over Christmas as part of the Diamond Head Classic.
Right, yeah. And you can see there, I did pull up some of the key upcoming games of this conference. UTEP, their first game without Tim Floyd, coming up tomorrow night, hosting rival New Mexico State there. You've also got that rematch of Middle Tennessee, this time at Gulf Coast, the second time they've played this year, and a good old Colonial matchup there, David Richmond and Old Dominion.
Yeah, this rivalry has cooled a little bit, but it's not as hot as it used to be, but it's still pretty hot. And that's largely symptomatic of it no longer being a conference game. But I'm a little – aren't you kind of a little bit surprised at how much those schools still dislike each other? Rhodes, Paul, is it Paul Rhodes, the VCU coach? His name escapes me.
Mike Rhodes.
Mike Rhodes, thank you. Still has it in his contract, I think, where he gets a bonus for beating Old Dominion. So that one still not – they're still not warm and fuzzy with each other out there. They still really don't like each other.
VCU on Saturday also, so it's a big old rivalry week here for Old Dominion. I skipped that game.
Yeah. Well, no, it's on there.
Yeah, no, I skipped mentioning. Talk about them.
But, oh yeah.
And John.
Middle Tennessee at Vanderbilt. You know, a chance to pick up a signature road win for them.
And La Tech with a nice home game against a Stephen F. Austin team that's going to be the favorite in the Southland. Not going to be a huge mark from on the national stage, but those are the types of wins that that help build out a resume as opposed to beating your Florida A&Ms and your Western Carolinas and the like.
Yeah, and your non-Div 1 teams, so.
and Stephen F. Austin, a rare non-Div 1 game there, I think.
A rare game against a Div 1 opponent.
I guess that note, let's turn back to the rest of the conferences. And, John, let me start with you in the America East, where we do have Albany and Vermont both out to the best starts of this conference with one loss apiece. What are your thoughts on the league so far?
Well, we were pretty close to having a Vermont taking a damaging loss at Richmond, especially after Georgetown went into Richmond and also smoked the Spiders over Thanksgiving weekend. So it's also entertaining to see John Rothstein's Twitter feed anytime that a team like Vermont were to win on the road in one of these so-called bye games. It's supposed to be the epitome of brutality, but it wouldn't have been that way had they lost.
Right, yes, yeah. That was aimed at Rothstein, not at Stolica.
Not at you, not at all.
Yeah.
Yep, well. John Roth. David, you're really high on this Albany team, even more so than I am. They got off to a great start in that Monmouth game and then just fell apart in the second half, though.
They did, and they fell apart right after I began to sing their praises, either on Twitter, on the email feed, or both. I was just not expecting them to get out to this kind of a start this season, and then for them to go on to the road to Monmouth, which is not the easiest place to play, and have a really good first half. I was just like, man, this Albany team's way up there. Now, they did lose the game, and they struggled to win the night in a game that they really shouldn't have struggled in as much as they are. But 7-1 is 7-1. I don't like them nearly as much as Vermont. I think Vermont is at-large caliber stuff. You had them on the 10 line in your preseason bracket, and I don't think that that's far off. It might be spot on for being how good this Vermont team actually is. When you look at what they've done this season, I know they had to sweat a little bit against Richmond tonight, but still, it was their third or fourth true road win. I forget which. They lost their opener at Kentucky in a game where they had a shot in the final seconds to tie and force overtime, and since then they have not lost. This Vermont team really getting it done, living up to expectations, and they're going to get another chance or two to get that signature win against the top 30, top 40 team that can impress the selection committee.
I'm not going to complain about a schedule like Albany when we have a team here that I'm going to be circling. They are 4-2 against D1 competition, but that is against the worst strength of schedule in all of D1 hoops.
Yes.
Yeah, Lowell, I think they suffered a loss tonight. They were 5-1 before tonight. But, John, Vermont, I think really we're going to get a real test this week. Two real tough road trips at Bucknell and at Marquette. A Bucknell team that's now desperate for wins, and Marquette, you know, a Big East school, obviously. So
we'll get to Bucknell later. Holy smokes.
We're going to have to discuss both Bucknell a bit. But, yeah. John, let me stick with you here, though, and as we turn over to the A-Sun, where, I mean, is there anything other than Florida Gulf Coast to even discuss? Well, maybe there's one other team to discuss, but go ahead.
Yeah, we have to look in Nashville for the Battle of the Boulevard Part 1, where Lipscomb finally got over the hump and actually got a pretty sizable victory at Belmont on Monday night.
Yeah, this was the first time since Casey Alexander has been there, I think 5 years now, that he's beaten the rivals, and they play twice a year. He had been 0-11 against them. So congrats to Lipscomb. But, David, they turn around tonight and lose to Tennessee Tech.
Yeah, not good. Tennessee Tech off to a nice start. We'll get to them here in a little bit, but real disappointing for Lipscomb, especially now that they're starting to get more and more of their key players back. I think they're going to be really good once they get in the conference play. And at this point, as far as making the NCAA tournament anyway, that's their only way in. But really, you would have really expected them to win the night after what they did earlier in the week.
And we do have upcoming round two of the Battle of the Boulevard, as well as the return game against Middle Tennessee for Gulf Coast. So not much in terms of big games for the A-Sun, but they are two real important ones there coming up this week.
Right, yeah.
David, let me stick with you here. We go over to the Big Sky Conference. And I know you want to talk a little Portland State with that big win over Stanford and another one also in the PK that somehow didn't get on the screen there.
That is quite some notable results. Well, they did. Yeah. They won against Stanford, and they had a chance to either tie or win at the buzzer against Butler, a game they did not win. So their losses on the season are to Duke and Butler. Not tournament at-large caliber wins, but when you look at their overall profile, a lot of good stuff on it. A win at Portland. I think this is definitely a postseason tournament team, maybe even an NIT team. I like them as much as anybody else in the A-Sun right now. I mean, I know that you guys are big on Montana and a couple other teams here, but I like what I've seen out of this Portland State team.
I think Chad's being a little too modest here because Idaho had kind of a mixed bag in the final Great Alaska Shootout. They end up finishing in third place, but also lost a tough one in the semifinals against Bakersfield, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
it was a little disappointing for Idaho out there. They could have done better. Some of the upcoming games here, Weber State's got a interesting game at Utah Valley next week. Montana is going to be at UCLA. And John, Idaho hosting Washington State.
And this is also another rivalry with a very close proximity here.
It is. They're 8 miles apart, and there's a story that for years, the student body would walk to the game or walk from the game or something like that? I don't know. But
I really want to know, if they're 8 miles apart, have they ever met in the NCAA tournament?
I don't think either team has ever been to the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
David, that's not true, but it's not false by much.
David, Big South Conference, haven't seen much out of this league so far this year. Actually, the one game I want to highlight there, the first one there, that Presbyterian gets UNC Greensboro. I don't know if you can find this not out there.
It's out there. It's on YouTube, and it is fantastic. Okay. You were actually watching this game live. Yes. You alerted me to it. I was watching games that were actually mattering, but it is everything from the play-by-play guy who lost his mind, and it's just wonderful when play-by-play guys lose it, to the storming of the court of the 10 people. And what was funny is that they were on the far end of the court and just ran all the way across it and then had to get off so they can review. It's one of the best videos of the season so far, under the radar.
Also a nice shot in the arm for a team like Presbyterian, who I think there have been some whispers of how long they're going to be remaining in D1 themselves, but that's something we'll get into a little later with some other conferences.
Yeah, there was talk 2 years ago that they were looking at maybe going back down the D2. And again, it was just talk. It was just rumors. Nothing really substantiated. It's my understanding now that they are committed to staying at the Div 1 level, though. So nice.
Good. But look for that buzzer beater win by Presby over Greensboro. If you could, out there on the internet, YouTube, it is one of the most entertaining videos you will see all season long. It really was. But some of the upcoming games here, not much in terms of upcoming games. This is really kind of a dead stretch, especially for a lot of these under the radar schools here in early December. Winthrop, though, was a test coming up at Georgia State. John, the Big West. I guess let's start with a little bit of news that we've got down there, is that we've got two new members coming to the Big West starting the 2020-2021 season, UC San Diego and Cal State Bakersfield.
Yeah, the first one we highlight is going to be UC San Diego, because they've long been rumored off of our actual shows, but among our discussions as far as, does UC San Diego go to the Big West like they had insisted, or were they going to go to a more unstable conference like the WAC? Which is why you're seeing Cal State Bakersfield actually moving out of the WAC just after Cal Baptist joins. And this way you'll see the Roadrunners in the Big West. And you get sort of a balance between the Cal State system as well as the UC system here.
Yeah. And David, do you think this is a good move for the Big West? Do you think 11 is kind of a strange number?
It is for a basketball centric conference. I don't like 11. I think it's too many. Now, the one caveat here is that Hawaii, if they stick with the round robin schedule, allows for an extra out of conference game. So you're not limiting yourself too much. But I think 10 is the upper end of the ideal size. I actually think 8 or 9 is the ideal size for a basketball centric conference. But 11, it's just that we've not really seen the 20-game schedule work the way it needs to, at least not for an under-the-radar conference, because it just limits your chances at OOC games to prove yourself here. As far as the institutions themselves, I think they're good selections. The one thing that I really am scratching my head here is why the delay to move up. If you're going to go, go. The sooner you start, the sooner you can start the transition, and the sooner you begin the transition, the sooner you can complete it. This is, I mean, the people that will be freshmen in that 2025 class are currently 9 years old. Why the
2025
delay?
Class being the first class that UC San Diego will be eligible for the NCAA tournament. The one thing that could possibly have factored into this, and I don't know if this is true or not, I know a lot of conferences have exit, not penalties, but maybe you're not eligible for the automatic bid for a year if you announce you're going to leave without giving sufficient notice, that perhaps something like that was in play with Bakersfield and the WAC. I don't know necessarily that it was, but that's my only other thought, that something that could have been in play there. But David, as far as the teams on the court, Hawaii is still with the best overall record here, although UC Santa Barbara has been making a little bit of noise as well, I guess.
Yeah, Santa Barbara, it has looked pretty good. I still really like this Hawaii team. I know that Nevada kind of ran away from them, but I think that's more of a statement to how good Nevada is than it is how weak Hawaii is. I still like the Bows. I do.
In terms of upcoming games, they've got a game at Utah, and then they're hosting a Prairie View team that's been made a little bit of noise this year. Send anybody from the SWAC makes noise.
Right. If you listen to the Kyle Lamb show last night, you talked about schools with limited resources. Good job, Prairie View, going out to Hawaii.
John, Colonial, Towson is starting to look pretty good, aren't they?
Yep, they had a win in one of the exempt tournaments last week where Georgia Southern was the team they had actually knocked off in the championship game. Contrast to a team like College of Charleston, which got off to a pretty bad start in the Great Alaska Shootout and did manage salvage a couple wins, but unfortunately one of them was against Alaska Anchorage, so that is not going to count among the standings.
Yeah, and starting to pay a little bit of attention to William & Mary with, you mentioned the Marshall win, also the Old Dominion win. I wasn't really expecting much out of them this year, but a little bit of early season noise, at least from the Tribe.
Yeah, especially against the old Colonial teams. I mean, if they play against the new
go ahead, finish.
Oh, well, if they do what, against the current Colonial, against, what they've done against the old Colonial, they'll be pretty good.
We've got an interesting week coming up for Towson. They are off to Northern Ireland to play in Belfast. The first game against there is against LaSalle in the semifinals of that event. Neat little event that's happening out there. I don't know how Northern Ireland ended up with college basketball, but it did.
I don't know either. And we're sending them LaSalle. Anyway.
I think it was Tytel who pointed out, how was Notre Dame not invited to that event?
Good question.
John, over in the Horizon League, Northern Kentucky suffered a tough loss to Memphis by 2 points.
It was an opportunity missed, but it's not really any shame in losing at Memphis, who should be somewhat of a middling team in the American. But Oakland, even with Jalen Hayes back in the lineup, they were just no match for Kansas on the road.
And David, one of those, as far as Sleekla hasn't circled this yet, but take a look at Milwaukee, 4-2 overall, 3-1 versus D1. That means there's a non D1 loss in there.
Yes, there is. Lost to Paul. And it also means is this an infraction? Two non D1 games.
It is an infraction, but they lost one of them. So, get for violating one of
our
10 committees of college basketball. You can find them up there on the website.
But if you're looking for me to circle a team, it's not going to be Milwaukee. It's going to be Detroit, who actually went on the road and actually got a win at St. Louis over the past week.
Yeah, they did. A nice win by Detroit there over a St. Louis team that's been very disappointing so far. And, David, I don't know why you put St. Louis in your preseason bracket.
I must have been drunk. Oakland been kind of disappointing out of this league. Northern Kentucky, not so much. But, again, NKU with playing Berea College tonight. And then they have, I think it's Morehead State, I think, on Saturday. So they should be able to bloat their record out a little more.
A big week actually coming up for Oakland, hosting Texas Southern at Western Michigan, then at Eastern Michigan. So this is a chance for them to go up against some of the better under the radar schools and really recover from their rough start that they've had so far.
Yeah.
David, Ivy League, a lot of scores here because there was a lot of interesting results, including Harvard doing lousy at the Wooden, Penn with a 4-overtime win over Monmouth. Just a lot of interesting scores here coming out of the Ivy League this week.
Yeah, Penn and Monmouth, I think that's number two for quadruple overtimes.
And how did you like watching that fourth overtime on ESPN? three.
Yeah, it was so good. Well, nobody was expecting it, that apparently ESPN is only equipped to show three overtimes. So anything over that in the Ivy League. But
the Wi-Fi went out in the building,
not ESPN's fault at all. They've had enough trouble this week. The only people that saw the end of that were the ones that were in the building with tickets.
But if you want to really talk about a game that got away, we have to highlight the Columbia Lions right here. They're 1-5, but they had a hard luck loss against UConn tonight, where they actually led by as much as 10 with about 5 minutes to go in that game. But it ended up going overtime, and the Huskies were able to escape a near disaster.
That would have, and disaster is the proper word. That would have not looked good on their resume.
That would have been Wagner-esque from a couple of years ago, which completely collapsed the entire UConn
season. No, that would have been the epitome of brutality right there.
Yeah, that would have been. That's the kind of loss that can get you taken out.
Coming up this week, Harvard is at Kentucky. Princeton's going to be playing Miami. I don't expect an upset in either one of those games, David.
No. In the way Harvard's been going, and I hate to say this, I'm not even expecting a competitive game.
Now, Princeton and George Washington, on the other hand, maybe, but I don't think they're as good as Rider is, though.
We'll talk about Rider actually coming up right now. In fact, the Metro Atlantic. And, David, I hadn't mentioned this earlier this year. You mentioned, though, the 20-game schedules. This is one conference that had been going with that 20-game schedule. They actually switched this year, dropped down to 18, so it's no longer full double robin. So we're not going to get early Metro Atlantic games in December that we've had in the past.
Right. And I think that part of the reason for that is that they've discovered that it just, you box yourself in too much when it comes to creating opportunities for yourself. Had Monmouth the last couple of years had two more shots at quality wins out of conference and they get one of them, maybe that's enough to put them in. I'm not saying that's not the only reason, but another thing for this league is that it might limit your chances to earn revenue by going out and playing another bye game or two on the receiving end, not the giving end. I just don't think the 20-game format works. I don't think it's going to work for the power conferences that are going to that format, but that's another discussion for another day. I think 11 is an odd number, and I think I would have been four had I had anything to do with this conference, going down to 18 rather than staying at 20.
And John, I know you want to discuss this Rider team, although you're making pictures all over the screen right now. But real close shot here at Providence tonight, losing the game by four. Really had a shot to win it.
They did, and that was another game that was going kind of back and forth. But notice how I did not circle Rider here, because their schedule, while they've had a couple notable wins, it's actually somewhere in the middle. Teams like Monmouth and Iona have scheduled up, and even Niagara is in the top 100 this year.
Yeah, Niagara.
Yeah, I mean, it's November. But
and some of the upcoming games here in the Metro Atlantic, Manhattan is Holy Cross is the other half of that Belfast bracket that I couldn't remember earlier. Rider's going to be out at Drexel and at Robert Morris. Siena in trouble at Louisville. Siena really disappointing so far, David, I think.
Very disappointing, yes.
Right. Let's head over to the other MAC, the Mid-American MAC, where we now have two teams with only one loss, and Akron just doesn't seem to want to play any games at all this year. Only four games, which I think is the low in all of college basketball.
I don't know if they realize that the season started the second Friday in November. They just haven't wanted to play. Real interesting decision there not to play. But I guess more games are coming from them. I kind of like the Zips team from what little we've seen of them. Interesting team here, and I know you're going to get to them, is this Toledo team that opened the season with two really good wins and has lost three out of four since then, one being to Kansas. Hardly any shame there. But I don't know, just a bad team with a good week, or are they better than what we think?
Well, I didn't expect much of them heading into the season. Then they beat St. Joe's to start the year. We started to like them, then the loss to Cornell, and they were run out of the building by Kansas. They couldn't even keep it competitive. Yeah, I don't know. I still like Buffalo better. Kind of looking at the Central Michigan team now at 5-1 with the win at the Great Alaska Shootout too, John.
And their only D1 loss was at Michigan, so certainly right. No shame in that.
Yeah, in a game where they actually played really well.
But you know the other team I'm going to be highlighting is going to be Western Michigan, because this is another team that managed to go into St. Louis and get a notable road win.
Which may not be much this year. Although yeah. St. Louis has never been known as a great home court advantage, I don't think. It's one of those – people always seem to win in St. Louis.
Except for St. Louis.
Except for St. And Louis.
And the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah. Some upcoming games, at Oakland at Western Michigan game that we mentioned earlier, Montana State at Central Michigan, Buffalo at Delaware, Oakland is going to be at Eastern Michigan. David, anything you're really looking forward to hearing the MAC this week?
Not really. I mean, you know, we have that big four game, the Bonnies in Buffalo. I'm kind of looking forward to that one. That's going to be fun.
Actually, that is fun. That's the big four is always a fun. And Buffalo with a win there will clinch the, I believe, we'll have a sweep of the big four. They'll have be 3-0 and they'll win it for this on the season.
Mm-hmm.
Salika, I know we got to talk about him. The team that was a finalist for the Centenary Award is one of the worst teams at D1 last year, sitting here at an amazing 5-1 with a 65 RPI and a win over East Carolina this week.
Yep, and that would actually be a win against East Carolina that actually led to the Pirates coach actually resigning. Definitely, but to also clarify what Chad had mentioned last year, North Carolina A&T was the Centenary runner-up, but we had a feeling something was going to be positive, was going to be taking place, because they also beat eventual conference champion North Carolina Central in their finale last year.
Yeah, cost them the Centenary Award.
Cost them the Centenary, yeah, it did.
But David, I don't ever remember, you know, 5-1 out of a MEAC team ever to begin with, and let alone being the team that was the worst team in the conference last year.
Yeah, I know. It's quite a dramatic turnaround there. Real nice job by NCA&T. And, you know, 3-1 against division competition. Just a shocking, shocking, cataclysmic turnaround here.
This week they have two road games coming up at Central Connecticut and at Presbyterian. I'm going to circle that Presby game. We get that Presby.
Both A&T. Of those are winnable despite being road games.
They're both winnable, but Central Connecticut State is another team that we'll be getting to shortly that's also improved this year compared to recent years.
Very much so. Wasn't sure what kind of a coach Danielle Marshall would be. Well, we'll get to them in a minute.
Let's start with the Missouri Valley Conference first. One of the few undefeated teams left among the under-the-radars, though, David, and Valpo, 8-0
yeah.
now.
Yeah, not any really big tests, but, I mean, they've – beaten. I mean, they haven't exactly been the worst of the cupcakes either. In off to a really impressive 8-0 start. What about? Can we talk about another team that is?
I'm very impressed by the entire conference so far. It's putting up some real nice numbers. Go ahead. Who else?
Well, Northern Iowa. And again, the conference has put up bloated records, but they haven't again been entirely against the pastry cart. But they haven't really been against tournament-caliber competition either, with the exception of Northern Iowa. Their two losses are Villanova on a neutral floor in a game where for 30 minutes they were right in there, and even still into the final 5 and 4 minutes, it was still within reach. And their other loss was the opener, I think it was, at North Carolina. No shame in any of those losses. And look at their wins, UNLV, and then the two wins they got. Was it SMU and who else did they beat?
NC State.
NC State. So they have three respectable wins. This team's inside. That has the makings of a resume that will land them inside the bubble. And look, this is a good Northern Iowa team, far better than I would expect them to be.
And, John, you're circling some of those games there. The Missouri Valley Mountain West Challenge going on as we record this. It's already a 4-1 lead for the Missouri Valley here with only that Boise State Loyola Chicago game against them, and that was kind of a surprise. Loyola Chicago just got blown out by Boise, and that's their only loss on the season.
I don't know if that's necessarily a surprise, because Boise themselves has only one loss during the season, but Loyola,
I think the score was the surprise, though, to me. 87-53.
although Loyola certainly put together a very respectable string themselves under Porter Moser this year.
Yeah.
And let's not forget that Evansville's loss was a buzzer beater against Louisiana Tech down in Cancun.
Right, yeah.
And Bradley off to a nice state. I start. I still like this Missouri State team. They had picked up a nice win over Colorado State. And it is now Mo State, though. If you check out the uniforms, it's no longer Missouri State. It's now Mo State.
Yeah.
Some of the upcoming games, maybe if we can get them to show up on the screen here. Maybe not. There they are. Mo State. Big week against Summit League at South Dakota State, then at North Dakota State, David.
Yeah, two really good road games for them. And I mean that like from a power ranking standpoint and even from a committee standpoint. South Dakota State, really good team this year, might not lose but one or two home games. If Mo State goes up there and gets one of those or even both of them, those are two really good wins. And then Loyola's on their way to Florida.
Yeah. Then over in the Northeast Conference, John, I know you want to talk Central Connecticut State and maybe a little Wagner, so there it is.
Yep. I mean, Wagner also has the best record and also had a notable win earlier this year against NJIT, in which they kicked off the Wellness and Events Center down in Newark. But let's also highlight number two in the country as far as luck for the Seahawks of Wagner here.
Yeah. And some of the upcoming games, this is really not the time of year to really discuss Northeast Conference. We'll discuss it a lot more once we get into conference play. It's, you know, just a 16 seed caliber conference normally, but very fun to watch when we get to conference play.
Yeah, when we get to conference
play. Wagner hosting Fairfield, Fairleigh Dickinson's coming up at Iona. But David, just like a little talk a little Ohio Valley Conference here. And I really want to talk about this team at the top of the list there.
Tennessee Tech out to a 7-1 start. Again, you mentioned the win over Lipscomb. Again, two of those wins are Div 1, or non-Div 1. But all in all, sprinting out of the gate. And Murray State, again, a really impressive 2-1 against Division 1 teams. Lost really the only okay, let's talk a little Tennessee Tech, Chad. What have you seen out of them?
It's just really shocked me that scored tonight against Lipscomb after Lipscomb picked up that huge win over Belmont. And I guess, you know, Belmont's starting to reach a point where to set that we thought they might have had a chance in the NCAA at large, but it's probably not going to happen.
Did we mention this last week? I mean, the show was so good that I don't remember. Tennessee State out of this conference, scheduled to leave this conference and join the Big South. Did we mention that yet?
I don't know if we did or not. So okay, now you just did.
Yes. Yeah. So that would take this down from 12 to 11.
I didn't know that Tennessee State was actually leaving. I thought that it was a couple other schools that were going there, but
yeah, no, they are.
John, who's moving to the Big South next year?
I think we had mentioned Hampton as a
it's Hampton. Team never mind. It's not there. Tennessee State. I said Hampton. We're talking about the OVC right now. I thought we were on the MEAC still.
But one team I was going to highlight here out of the OVC. The team that I did want to highlight was Eastern Illinois, because this was a team that gave Marquette a huge scare on Tuesday night, but ended up losing that game in overtime in Milwaukee.
Yeah, Coach Spoonhour. Son of the legendary Charlie Spoonhour, and even more legendary than his father. Just great theater watching him on the sidelines. The beard, the unbuttoned shirt.
Before he heads over to the Patriot League, some of the upcoming games here. Tennessee Tech is at Furman and at Dayton this week. And again, we mentioned earlier the return match of the Battle of the Boulevard. But David, yeah. I'm going to give you another shot. This is the Patriot League. These are the teams that are in it, and they're not going anywhere.
You mean the ones that are on the screen right now?
The ones that are on the screen are Patriot League, and no one's going to the Big South next year.
Okay. So Loyola is not going to the Big South.
Let's talk number seven there. Let's talk Bucknell.
They lost their first four games, and none of those four losses individually were all that bad. But when you add them all together, we were just expecting a little more out of them. They won their next three, but had to sweat a couple of them out against weak teams. And then the night, going to St. Joe's and just getting rocked. And this is a team that I thought that we thought would be inside the bubble, hovering around the top 40. At no point this year have they looked that good. And you just wonder what happened. Is this the same team that was so successful against West Virginia after blowing through the Patriot League last year?
Yeah, and now they've got to host Vermont this weekend. This is a game that we had circled preseason, one of the key under-the-radar games this year. I'm not looking forward to it as much as I was. I mean, I'm
not at all. It's turning into a game that – yeah, instead of a resume-caliber win for Vermont, it's turning into a game that they really just can't afford to lose because of how it would damage them.
But I'm still going to highlight this because this is a chance for Bucknell to start turning around their season. Let's also look at some of their predictive ratings where things like Pomeroy, the BPI, and Sagarin, they're still expecting the Bucknell to run right through the league, but probably going to be looking at more of a 14 or 15 if they just win their conference and have a middling out-of-conference schedule.
Well, John, I'm going to take a little exception with you there because a lot of the predictive ratings still this early in the season account for a lot of the preseason numbers and the preseason expectations. So I think that those predictive ratings are still skewed lower than they really will be once we get 10 or 12 games into the season if they continue on this pace.
Fair enough.
I know Pomeroy, you've got to get, I think, 10 games in the season before his preseason rankings fall out of the picture entirely, for example.
Yeah.
But let's head over to the SoCon, where, David, I just have not seen anything of note out of this league yet.
Not really. Mercer, we kind of liked them out of the gate, not looking good at all against Tennessee tonight. One note here, Mercer will not be going to the Big South. They'll be remaining in the SoCon.
Yes, they will. As will everybody else in this conference will be ready to get the SoCon.
Yeah, right. A little bit
hosting Georgia Tech coming up here. It's the second Power Conference team they've hosted in their new building this season.
Yeah, and South Carolina understood. I don't know why Georgia Tech's going there, but good for them for doing it. Samford, I think the team that we liked the most coming into the year, I mean, at least the one that I did, real unimpressive so far. Something in the water down in Birmingham.
I think the one to watch here is going to be Tennessee Tech going to Furman on Saturday.
Yeah.
Yep. And, John, the Southland Conference, we've got a pair of one-loss teams here in Stephen F. Austin and Lamar, including SFA picking up a nice win over North Dakota State this week.
Unfortunately, we also have teams like Incarnate Word who, while they're 3-2 overall, have already used up three games against non-D1 foes, so we're probably going to have to dust off the Ten Commandments for the Cardinals here.
Yeah. Incarnate Word playing Gonzaga right now. Let's see how that one's going.
You don't want to see it's bad.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
They're going to blow it out of the building there. But Stephen F. Austin coming up at Louisiana Tech on Wednesday, a game that I think is definitely going to be worth circling. But, David, over in the SWAC.
Prairie View!
Close game against UCSB after coming up with the win in Las Vegas. Only team with two wins. In fact, there's only three other D1 wins in the rest of the conference besides their two wins. It's a great start by the Panthers so far.
It really is kind of an unprecedented start as far as, well, for them, winning two games and out at Hawaii a little bit later this week is you had highlighted earlier. So.
And John, I know you want to highlight that number one there on the Texas Southern.
Yeah, I think we've been giving too much credit to Long Beach State in recent years for putting together a killer non-conference schedule. I mean, now Texas Southern has taken that crown for different reasons.
Yeah, they haven't played an out-of-conference home game in like 4 years, I saw.
They have a slightly easier week this week at Oakland and at Toledo, Prairie View before the Hawaii trip, also going to New Mexico State, so I don't think they can win either one of those games, but if they can keep those competitive like they did in the Santa Barbara game, they're really going to be the team that I'm going to be looking at as we head into the conference play.
Mm-hmm.
A couple more conferences to go here quickly through the Summit League, or maybe not so quickly, David, because we've got to talk a little South Dakota State, don't we?
Yeah, off to a real good start. Like this South Dakota State team had a real nice win at Ole Miss. Had a 20 point lead, or actually more, in the second half yesterday. Ole Miss came back and came back fast, and you almost expected Ole Miss to run away with it, but South Dakota State played it even the rest of the way, got it done in overtime. Real exciting game there, and a real nice road win here for, is it the Jackrabbits, or are they the, no, it's the, no, that's South
they're
Dakota
the Jack- State. Yeah. No, no, they're the Jackrabbits. South Dakota okay. State is the Jackrabbits.
Yeah, so nice. Yeah, and South Dakota State, this just, they're not going to be going to the Big South. They're going to be staying in the Summit League.
They got a real tough week up. They're hosting Missouri State, and then they're going to Wichita State this week.
Yeah, they should be able to get Mo State at home, I think. Wichita State, that they're shooting at the moon there. You normally don't hit the moon when you shoot at it, but if they were to hit it, then you have to absolutely think of them as an at-large caliber team.
Yep, and it looks like one team that we haven't highlighted yet is the luckiest team in all of D1 right now, and that's the Leathernecks of Western Illinois.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to take the luck column off here just to, so Sleek can stop talking about it. But John, let me stick with you in the Sun Belt. We're still looking at Arlington, who picked up a win over Niagara this week, 95-90.
Yeah, Arlington has been, the most consistent team so far this year, but another team that's taken a couple swings in the Atlantic 10, and that's Appalachian State. They got a nice win at home against Davidson, and were also competitive against VCU for a half before falling in Richmond to the Rams.
You didn't do it. Okay, I was ready with the buzzer, even.
Okay, yeah.
But David, the upcoming schedule of the Sun Belt, Arlington is hosting North Texas. That's their only game in the next 7 days here. Yeah. Winthrop is going to be at State. Georgia State team is kind of up there, but not much going on in the Sun Belt. Probably not as much at the top of it as we had last year around this time.
No, not really, other than UTA, who, if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be them, but their margin for error is teensy, tiny, small.
Yeah. Last but not least, the WAC, where Grand Canyon and New Mexico State both off to 4-1 starts, although the Lopes suffered a tough loss to San Diego at home this week, David.
Yeah, San Diego, under the radar, well, not under the radar, but sort of under the radar, undefeated on the year. Tough loss for the Lopes there, one of the better teams that they played. New Mexico State still going strong. They're only lost at St. Mary's so far, and at St. Mary's teams, that's not nearly as good as we thought. But I still like those two more than anybody else in the league. I know that the two of you are still big on Utah Valley, who, to be fair, has not lost since the second day of the season when they fell at Duke the day after falling at Kentucky.
Right, and they've got a home game against Weber State coming up this week. We also mentioned that the Lopes will be hosting St. John's coming up this week, and UTEP hosting New Mexico State. But let me switch back here. If you see in the bottom there, Cal Baptist, the team of the
people. Yes! Yes! The team of the people, the highest-ranked team that we've talked about.
We had a little disappointment, though, this week. John, St. Martin's, I mean – I thought that was one of the Virgin Islands. What are they doing coming all the way across the country and beating our Lancers? What's going on here?
John is so upset. John refuses to talk about it. It's just too much for John. I just can't fathom it. I mean, you try and stay positive. It's the holidays. It was a good week last week, but I just could not enjoy myself after our Lancers lost. But the thing is, you know, it's just one loss. We try and learn from it. And we got another big week this week. We're back in action tomorrow.
Yes, and we've got the Hawaii trip this week. Hawaii Hilo and Shaman. Shaman are dangerous. They're beat Cal this year.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, you go out to Hawaii, you get two wins, and there he is.
Note to self, it is not wise to pull up an ESPN scoreboard in the middle of the podcast here. That's the second time it booted me.
Yeah, we're just so upset about about Cal Baptist. Listen, we understand, John. We were upset too, but
yeah,
like they're our top 10, right?
Yeah.
And, All right. This is HD under the radar top 10, and I guess let me see if we can get the drum roll going first.
There it is.
There it is, and there's number one team, Northern Iowa.
Yeah.
Huge win tonight at Vegas. I think, I don't know if they were unanimous, but they're very close to being unanimous as the number one team.
Yeah, and I mean, in my opinion, if, you know, this is a team that's putting the kind of resume together that can land them inside the bubble, especially when you look at what the rest of their conference is doing, it's going to give them chances to keep those numbers up.
And at number two, we saw Vermont coming in, a real strong team here. I think we've discussed them. We discussed earlier about how high we are on this team. And yeah, right behind them, and number three, we have that Middle Tennessee team, John, still hanging in right at the top there.
Yep, and I'm the reason why Northern Iowa was a near unanimous, but not completely unanimous, though.
Yeah.
Coming in number four, we have Texas Arlington team. We just discussed how well they've got to start. They've been off to, and right behind them at number five, Western Kentucky, off of the streak, those two wins at the Battle for Atlantis.
Yeah, two really good wins there.
They're our top five.
Yeah.
Yep. Two CUSA teams in there already. And coming in at number six, Valparaiso, undefeated. And I think that's probably the only reason they're up there at this point. They really don't have the notable wins yet, though.
Right. Everybody else ahead of them has, somewhat of a notable win. Arlington going out to, I think it was BYU that they beat. Vermont has done a little bit, with what they've done, their only loss being against Kentucky, Northern Iowa, Middle, all. So Valpo, but they're 8-0. So.
Right behind Valpo, we have the Jackrabbits we just discussed with that huge win over Ole Miss. And behind them, Louisiana Tech giving us three CUSA teams here in the top 10. Very impressive start to mention, which is why we highlighted this conference tonight.
Right, and La Tech almost getting another one tonight.
And they would have been a lot higher on this list had they pulled that off, I think, also. Coming at number nine, we've got Towson out of the Colonial off that great start so far as well. And at number 10, John, your Northern Kentucky team. I know you're high on them, but the Northern Kentucky, is this the Bearcats or the Norse? Which of the Northern Kentucky teams is this?
Well, considering one of them is not allowed to be an under the radar because of what conference they are in, this would be the NKU Norse. So this is the one that does not require a police escort to get to the arena.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at a few of the honorable mentions, teams that just missed it. We've got Portland State, Oakland, North Carolina A&T.
Whoa.
State Rider. North Carolina A&T, I will tell you, I helped them get up there. I voted them number 10 on my list. That's how impressive I am that you go 5-1 in the MEAC against a bye schedule and be the defending centenary finalist and get up there. But I think the team belongs up there.
John, and I've given them an honorable mention along with UC Santa Barbara, who is also 2-0 in the West Coast Conference with wins at Pepperdine and San Francisco, but unfortunately, they are not a member of that conference.
Right.
I guess on that note, the link pulls down and go to each of you for any other final thoughts for the evening. John, let me start with you.
Yeah, we have to go back again to the Ten Commandments, and we want to talk about keeping natural rivalries. So I have to applaud SIU Edwardsville and SIU Carbondale for holding up their end of the bargain. And this round, the Salukis won quite convincingly at home tonight.
Yeah.
Is that considered a natural historical rival?
Maybe a natural
campuses,
one.
Yes.
Yeah, they're both branch campuses. Maybe,
with Carbondale being the flagship.
Yeah.
I don't think it's quite Missouri, Kansas.
Yeah. Your final thoughts. Well, Cal Baptist trying to rebound from their loss to St. Martin, going out and playing Chaminade. This is the same Chaminade team that rocked Cal, and that's the same Cal team that had an 18-point lead on Wichita State. So if Cal Baptist, your Lancers, my Lancers, the People's Lancers. If they can go out and beat Chaminade, then in my opinion, it means they're better than Wichita State. Let's get it done, Lancers.
Well, not only better than Wichita State, they're also better than a Pac-12 team. And that means that they we love the WAC, but maybe they're moving up to the wrong conference.
Yeah, maybe they're moving up to the wrong conference. It should be in the Pac-12.
They should be in the Pac-12. Maybe we got to start that campaign. Cal Baptist to the Pac-12. Why not? Yeah. I guess on that note, on behalf of John Salica and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us for this Under the Radar podcast. We'll be back again with a lot more real soon. And also, don't forget to check out the Ten Commandments up there. Yeah. And Kyle, I think he recorded a show the other night down